الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. أما بعد،
السلام عليكم. Tonight we are again with the 1000 stanzas of poetry with Al-Imam Al-Iraqi from the biography of the Prophet, peace be upon him. And last time we spent quite some time talking about the migration from Mecca to Medina.
قال: وإن فشى الإسلام بالمدينة هاجر من يحفظ فيها دينه.
So tonight we start with the chapter of the, or actually the section of talking about the
hijrah.
Talking about the hijrah itself, which is on page number
11. والحق للعدو خير شاغل. تبعهم سراقة بن مالك يريد فكا وهو غير فاتك. لما دعا عليه ساحة الفرس ناداه بالأمان إذ عنه حبس.
Here the poet says that when Islam became widespread in Medina, in the Medina of the Prophet, most of the companions who wanted to preserve their religion migrated from Mecca, where they were persecuted and where they were having a lot of trouble with the life itself. They weren't even able to live. They eventually ended up trying to find somewhere different to live. So one after the other, they started to leave the place in Mecca, and they preceded the Prophet, peace be upon him, to Medina. They preceded the Prophet to Medina. It was mentioned that the first one to do so was Mus'ab ibn Umayr. And it was also mentioned that Abu Salama ibn Abd al-Asad was the first one. May Allah be pleased with them both. And we mentioned before that Abu Salama is one of the first people who embraced Islam. And he is the brother of the Prophet from breastfeeding.
وكان أبو بكر الصديق رضي الله عنه.
Or he is the breastfeeding brother of the Prophet.
عزم أي هاجر. يقول عزم الصديق.
And then Abu Bakr al-Siddiq also wanted to migrate.
يعني كان أبو بكر الصديق رضي
But
الله عنه.
The Prophet peace be upon him.
النبي عليه الصلاة والسلام.
Told them to wait. So Abu Bakr came to take the permission of the Prophet to migrate to Medina as the rest of the companions migrated.
But the Prophet then told them,
do not rush, may Allah will make someone accompany you in the trip. Maybe Allah will make someone accompany you in the trip. So the Prophet held them and told them to wait. And then eventually the companion in the trip was the Prophet himself. So when they wanted to migrate, they picked a place in the middle of the trip to have some rest and also to hide from the chase of Quraysh, because Quraysh sent people after them to chase them. So they had in a cave in the middle of the mountain called Ghar Thawr, or the cave of Thawr. The Prophet, peace be upon him, told Ali, who is his cousin, to sit, or actually sleep, in the room of the Prophet, peace be upon him, and cover his face, so that people who wanted to kill him would see Ali in his state, and he would, by that time, he would have already left the place, or left Mecca. And the Prophet also kept Ali in Medina to return the pledges and things that some of the people in the Medina pledged to the Prophet or gave to the Prophet as trusts. And the people in Mecca started to feel that the Prophet and his companions will migrate, because they saw one after the other from the companions migrate and never come back to Mecca. So they knew that the believers, or that the Muslims in Mecca, are up to something, are up to some kind of a plan, and they wanted to stop that plan. So they gathered a bunch of strong young men and took their swords and surrounded the house of the Prophet, peace be upon him. And before that, the leaders of Mecca, the leaders of Mecca gathered in Dar al-Nadwa, which was a place that some kind of a social club that the people of Mecca used to gather in, to gather at. And so the leaders sat to discuss amongst themselves what is it that they should do to Muhammad to stop them. And Satan attended that meeting. Satan, Iblis, attended that meeting disguised in the clothes of a Bedouin. And they sat it with them, and they didn't know that this is Satan. So it sat with them disguised and discussed with them the issue. And at that time, Abu Jahl came up with the opinion that they all adopted, that they should select a strong young man from each tribe. And these young men surround his house with their swords. And as soon as he appears out of his house, as soon as he comes out of his house, peace be upon him, they would all of them, like one man, climb over him and hit him with their swords. And in that way, his blood would be distributed among the tribes, and they wouldn't know which tribe to avenge from. His family, peace be upon him, would not know which tribe to avenge from. So when it was early in the dawn, the Prophet, peace be upon him, left his house and started to recite the verse in the chapter of Yasin that we made behind them a barrier and before them a barrier, and we made them unable to see, and started to throw dust on their faces, and they all slept. So the Prophet left his house, and they didn't see him leaving the house. And on the morning, they tried to peek into the house to see if the Prophet was still asleep, and they found someone asleep in the house. And the Prophet, peace be upon him, told his cousin Ali to sleep in his bed and to cover himself with the cover of the Prophet and to cover his face, cover his head, so that they wouldn't know him. And the Prophet, peace be upon him, went to Abu Bakr, who prepared two camels with their luggage and everything, preparing them for the trip. So they started their trip, and a little bit down the road, they hid in a cave called the Cave of Thawr. And they stayed there for 3 nights. And the reason they stayed there for 3 nights is that they wanted Quraysh to calm down, because Quraysh was very agitated by the fact that they woke up in the morning and Muhammad, peace be upon him, was not there. So this is a big problem. It's like a heavily secure zone that someone is doing whatever he wants to do in it. This drives someone crazy. This drives the Quraysh people people crazy or the people from Taif crazy, that they intensify the security, if you will, and make the whole zone heavily secure or very intense with respect of security, yet Muhammad, peace be upon him, and his companions were able to make it out. That definitely drove him crazy. And they started to go out in all directions looking for him. And in fact, they dedicated or appointed a very capable person and a very capable fighter called Suraq ibn Malik, one of the best army men at that time, called Suraq ibn Malik, and promised him a fist of money, a very, very big amount of money if he could get Muhammad, peace be upon him, back. If he could catch him and bring him back. And here's one very important thing that you have to know, is that look at the Prophet, peace be upon him. Even though he is supported by the Lord of this world, he is supported by Allah, yet he sought all the means. He did not rely on Allah to do his work, to do the Prophet's work. Actually, the Prophet had to do his homework. He had to do his homework. He had homework, and he had to do that homework. The homework was that he had to select a place to hide, that he had to select a guide for the trip. And the reason to select a guide for the trip is that he didn't want to leave any chance for failure. One of us does 20% or 30% of the stuff and then says, Allah will help me. That's not right. You don't do 30% of your homework and then say, Allah will help me. That is not how tawakkul or relying on Allah should be. Relying on Allah should be done in a way that you do your homework 100% and then depend on Allah or rely on Allah. You cannot do your homework 10% and then rely on Allah. But what the Prophet, peace be upon him, used to do is that he would do his homework 100% and then rely on Allah. So he did his homework 100% when it came to this trip, as we will see. But anyways, he hid in a cave, actually not in the middle of the trip, but actually in the outskirts of Mecca, in the direction of Medina. And Asma, the daughter of Abu Bakr, would come with food to the Prophet and his companion, who is her father. That is when she was called by the Prophet Zat al-Nifaqain, or the Lady of the Two Belts. And the reason for that is that she used to have two belts, one belt around her waist, and the other belt still around her waist, but she would carry the food and things to the Prophet, peace be upon him, and his companions in the cave, in the mountain, the cave of Thawr.
يرعى الغنم ليأخذ غنم يسرح بها فيعفي بها على الآثار.
And look at that, the Prophet, peace be upon him, Abu Bakr as-Siddiq, may Allah be pleased with him, told one of his servants, and his name Amr ibn Fuhayra, one of the famous companions, and Amr ibn Fuhayra used to be one of those who preceded to Islam. He told Amr ibn Fuhayra to take a cattle of sheep that belonged to Abu Bakr, and take the cattle of sheep to browse in the area where the Prophet, peace be upon him, walked with his companion, so that there wouldn't be even trace that Quraysh can follow. So look at this. He did his homework 100%. So even the trace of the feet, he wouldn't be able to see. So when it was the time when they were in the cave, Abu Bakr was scared that Quraysh would be able to catch them, but the Prophet would tell him, لا تحزن إن الله معنا. Don't be worried, Allah is with us. Don't be worried, Allah is with us. Don't be worried, Allah is with us. So they did their homework very well. And then, and only then, they were able to say, Allah is with us. It doesn't make any sense that you sleep at home and say, Allah is with us. You have to do your homework and then say, Allah is with us. And that's what the Prophet peace be upon him did here. To be able to say that he relied on Allah, he had to do his homework. Because that is a part and parcel of relying on Allah. To do your homework 100% and to excel at doing that. And when you do that and excel at doing that, only then can you say that you really relied on Allah. You cannot sleep at home and then say, I relied on Allah. So the Prophet appointed a guide to the trip. His name is Abdullah ibn Uraiqat. And Abdullah ibn Uraiqat, Abdullah ibn Uraiqat was a very clever guide that took the Prophet and his companion in a route towards Medina that is not familiar, that people are not aware about. So that's another part of the homework. Look at this. Abdullah ibn Uraiqat was a disbeliever. The guide was a disbeliever. But the Prophet, peace be upon him, hired him because of how clever he was at guiding people in the desert. Yes, the Prophet hired him, and he was the guide of the Prophet and his companion in the trip to Medina. Some scholars say that Abdullah ibn Uraiqat, that guide, became a Muslim later on. But in the time of the Hijra, in the time of the migration, he was a disbeliever.
فأخذوا نحو طريق الساحل يعني سلك النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم طريق الساحل طريقا يعني قريبا من الساحل متوجها من مكة إلى
And the Prophet peace be upon him and the companion with the help of Allah and then Abdullah ibn Uraiqat, the guide, took a route that is very close to the coast, that is very close to the west coast of the Arabian Peninsula, which is the coast adjacent to the Red Sea. And they were followed by Suraqah ibn Malik. They were chased by Suraqah ibn Malik, who was a very excellent army man that Quraysh appointed and promised a huge amount of money, a huge present if he could bring back the Prophet and his companion. Some of the people in the route told Suraqah that they saw some people in some kind of a route, but they were close to the coast. So Suraqah followed that route and he wanted to bring the Prophet back. He wanted to kill the Prophet, peace be
upon him. قال لما دعا عليه ساقة الفرس يعني الذي حصل أن سراقة المنافق وصل إلى مكان النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم فدعا النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم قال اللهم اكفناه
When the Prophet peace be upon him knew that Suraqah is chasing him, the Prophet peace be upon him said, O Allah, protect us against him as you want and with what you want. So when the Prophet said that or prayed to Allah, the legs of the horse drowned in the sand, drowned or sunk in the sand. So the Prophet called him and told him I come to you in peace. The Prophet said to him, I come to you in peace. And he said to him, you should not tell them about me. Don't tell them about me. So Suraqa, when he found this miracle, that the horse sunk in the sand, that the horse drowned, almost drowned in the sand, this was a miracle. And when the Prophet gave him peace, and he was able to get his horse out of the sand, and he went back, he found Quraysh looking for the Prophet in that same route. So Suraqa told them, go back. I already covered this whole route and there was nobody in it. So he didn't lie. He said, I covered this route. He said, go back. I already covered this
one.
And Suraqa said, I went after Muhammad and I was the most fervent person to get him. But then, coming back, I was the least keen person that he would be found. I didn't want him to be found by these people.
فلما فتحت المدائن في ايام عمر بن الخطاب رضي الله عنه وجيء بكنوز كسرى الى عمر رضي الله عنه فجاء سراقه الى عمر واخبره بان النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم وعده به ان يلبس سوار كسرى وكانه سواران يكسرون في الحجه يعني من الجوانب من انثى وكذا فاعطاه
And the Prophet, peace be upon him, sent him a letter. When the Prophet made it to Medina, he sent a letter to Suraqa ibn Malik, said to him that he promised him that he will be, he will wear the bracelets of Kisra. Kisra is the king of Persia. So when Persia was opened by the Muslims in the time of Umar ibn Khattab, Umar ibn Khattab brought the treasures of Kisra and the treasures of Persia. And Suraqa came to ask for his bracelets that the Prophet promised him. And Umar gave him these bracelets, the bracelets of Kisra, the king of Persia. And on their way, they stopped by a lady who later on became, or a woman who later on became a Muslim. And that lady, together with her husband, they had a tent in the middle of the road to Medina. And she would give water and milk to the passerby, to the people who would pass by on the way to Medina. So the Prophet passed by her tent with Abu Bakr. And that woman was, her name was Ummu Ma'bad.
Ummu Ma'bad.
فمر بها النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم وعندها And they, herself and her husband, she and her husband had a sheep, she had a sheep that was very tired and looked sick. And she was basically, unable even to browse with the rest of the cow. She was very weak. That sheep was very weak. And that her husband took other the animals and the cattle of sheep and he took them basically to browse in a nearby grounds that had some grass. Does she have any milk? She said she is way more tired than to give milk. She was very weak. She is way weaker than to be able to give milk. So the Prophet, peace be upon him, wiped over her back. And he said Bismillah and he prayed to Allah. And then the sheep started giving milk, a lot of milk. And he filled a whole pot of milk and gave it to Mu'abbad.
وترك النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم هذا الماء منبوءا عندها وسافر عليه الصلاه والسلام وصل بعد ذلك طريقا.
Then he left.
الذي حصل بعد هذا انه لما قدم
What happened later is that when her husband came,
زوجها يعني قدم يسوق اعمدا عجافا قدم زوجها المعبد
When he came, he found milk. He said, where did you get that milk? There isn't any sheep here that gives us milk. She said, a blessed man came and stopped by and wiped over the sheep, and right away she started giving milk. So he said, how does this man look like? And she started giving his description. She started giving his description, describing him. She started describing his physique, his characteristics, his face. And then when she said all these things or mentioned all these characteristics, her husband said, I swear to Allah that this is the man that they've been talking about in Quraysh, the prophet that they're looking for. And that was already by the time the prophet was already or had already left. The following section talks about when the Prophet peace be upon him already made it to Medina, and the mentioning of Quba, which was a small village in Medina at the time. Now it's actually a whole district, but it was a village at that time that was 3 miles away, 3 miles away from Medina at that time, but now it's actually a district, a full district in Medina.
يعني من الجن المؤمنين يعني نادوا بصوت بحيث أهل مكة يعني سمعوا الصوت ولم يسمعه القائل، يعني إما يكون من الجن المؤمنين، وإما أن يكون أن يكون الهاتف هذا ملكا يعني من عند الله تعالى، فسمعوا هاتفا يهتف يعني يسمعون الصوت ولا يرون صاحبه. يقول جزا الله رب الناس خير جزائه رب صالح حمله وما نزل بالهدى وكذا به فقد فاز من خمسه الحمد لله اخر الابيات. تقول اسماء رضي الله عنها اثناء القران رضي الله عنها
أسماء
ذلك الوقت طبعا
هو kid at the time used to bring the food to her father in the cave and his companion the prophet peace be upon him. And أسماء heard a voice in Mecca that she didn't know where it was coming from telling the people that a man and his companion made it to the tent of Umm Ma'bad, and the tent of Umm Ma'bad was closer to Medina than it was to, Mecca. So when she heard that, she knew that the Prophet and his companion are close to Medina.
يقول حتى إذا أتى إلى قباء نزلها بالسعد والهناء في يوم اثنين لثنتي عشرة من شهر مولد فنعم الهجرة. أقام أربعا لديهم وطلع في يوم جمعة فصلى وجمع في مسجد الجمعة وهي أول ما جمع النبي فيما نحر. وقيل بل أقام أربع عشرة فيهم وهم ينتحلون ذكرى، وهو الذي أخرجه الشيطان لكن ما مر من الإتيان بمسجد الجمعة يوم جمعة لا يستقي يوم جمعة لا يستقيم مع هذه الدم إلا على القول بكون القدمة إلى قبى كانت في يوم الجمعة. هنا يقول إن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم وصل إلى قباء ونزلها عليه الصلاة والسلام.
Which again was a village that was 3 miles away from Medina at that time. Now it is a district in Medina, a full suburb in very famous in Medina. And when he came to the Ansar, who were already Muslims before the Prophet reached Medina, and were fervently waiting for the arrival of the Prophet in Medina. And every day they would go out waiting for the Prophet for the arrival of the Prophet in his
kingdom.
Every day they would go out and wait for the arrival of the Prophet. Right from the beginning of the dawn, actually the beginning of the sunrise, all the way to the point where they cannot tolerate the sun. Wait
فلما
until
كان
the
يوم قدوم النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم غدا كعادته فلما
أحرقت
من الشمس وغدا
so
فإذا بيهودي يصيح على أذن على مرتفع يعني من الأرض يقول يا بني قيلة هذا صاحبكم. يا بني قيلة وهم مسؤولية عن الأنصار هذا صاحبكم.
Until there was a day when they again waited and waited until the sun became very difficult to tolerate, so they wanted to leave back to their homes. They found a Jew, one of the Jews of Medina, and Medina had Jews at the time. One of the Jews who dwelt Medina on top of a hill, calling all you people of Qayla, referring to Al-Ansar. Here is your friend, here is your friend, referring to the Prophet, peace be upon him. So the Muslims came out to greet the Prophet, peace be upon him, give him proper reception, a reception that is appropriate to him and his arrival. And at the beginning, they confused the Prophet with Abu Bakr, because some of them embraced Islam and they haven't even seen the Prophet yet. So they would shake hands with Abu Bakr, saying, "Assalamu alaikum, Prophet." But he would point at the Prophet that this is the Prophet. And the only way they would have confused them. The only reason they confused them is because of how modest the Prophet, peace be upon him, was. He was very modest, that he wouldn't make him out. Very modest. Very modest. And here the poet talks about when the Prophet reached Quba. The historians or the scholars of prophetic geography say that the Prophet entered Quba on the 12th of Rabi' al-Awwal, on the 12th of Rabi' al-Awwal, which is the Hijri month. Or a lunar month. And that he stayed for three, actually four days in Quba, and he prayed Jum'ah there. And then he left Quba on Friday, going to Medina itself. As we mentioned, Quba was 3 miles away from Medina. So he remained for 4 days in Quba, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday. Beginning from Monday, actually to Friday, sorry. Friday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday. And he prayed there Friday. The other narration, which is narrated by Al-Bukhari and Muslim, is that the Prophet stayed there for 14 nights. 14 nights. 14 nights.
قال وهم يمتحدون ذكرا يعني يميلون اليه ويجمعون اليه يميلون الى هذا القول ويجمعون الى هذا القول الذي يقول لكن كون النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم صوت النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم يعني اتى لمسجد الجمعه يوم الجمعه
And the scholars said that the narration that mentioned that the Prophet peace be upon him came on the Prophet peace be upon him stayed there for 14 nights does not work or does not reconcile unless we say that the Prophet came on a Friday, not on a Monday. But as we mentioned before, some of the details in the events of the prophetic biography are not agreed upon, but that does not mean that the major events are agreed upon, not agreed upon. So the story is very authentic, but the detail of when the Prophet came to Medina. The narrations mentioned Monday, or some narrations mentioned Monday and some narrations mentioned Friday. It will be either anyways. شيخ، هل الخلاف هنا يغطي كل الاحتمالات، ولا يحتمل انه يكون يعني بالنسبة لأحداث السيرة عامة الخلاف يغطي جميع الاحتمالات، او ولا يحتمل انه يكون احد الاحتمالات لم يغطى في الخلاف بين الروايات؟ يعني هنا روايتين او احتمالين، انه يكون يوم اثنين او يوم جمعة، معناها ان هو عفوا يكون 14 ليلة او 4 ليالي، معناها انه لازم يكون احد الاثنين، ولا ممكن يكون في احتمال ثالث لم تذكره الرواية؟
يحتمل يعني ان تاخذها روايتان يعني خاطئتان، ويكون الصواب شيئا ذلك غير المذكور. فالجواب طبعا قطعا هيكون الصواب واحد من هذا المذكور يعني.
My question was, when you say that there is a debate between the scholars about the dates or when the Prophet, peace be upon him, how long did he stay in that village, does that mean that in the events of the seerah, of the events of the biography of the Prophet in general, does that mean that the possibility has to be one of the narrations, or the possibility could be something other than the narrations? The Prophet said no, the possibility has to be one of the narrations. So either that he stayed in Quba for 4 nights or 14 nights, but it cannot be a third possibility. It cannot be a third possibility. And this question is important, because if you have two narrations in front of you, if you have two narrations before your own, before your eyes, it means that you have to believe either one of them. You don't have to disbelieve in both of them. You get what I mean? Because if the possibility was something third, it means that both of the narrations could be wrong, and that's not right. That doesn't work. It has to be one of them. When you see two narrations here, it has to be one of them. It has to be one of the two narrations.
أن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم صلى الجمعة في قباء، وهو في المسجد الذي أسسه النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم في قباء، وهو المسجد المعروف يعني إلى اليوم.
And the Prophet peace وهو upon him.
المسجد الذي قال الله سبحانه وتعالى فيه لمسجد
The Masjid of Quba, which was the first masjid or the first mosque established in Medina. And this is the masjid that Allah credited in His Quran and gave it a privilege by revealing a verse on it, that this is a masjid that is better for you to pray at, because this is a masjid at which there are people who love to be clean, and Allah loves those who love to be clean. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said that this is a masjid, this is a mosque that has been established on piety from the first day. And this is better for you to pray at. And in some narrations, it was the masjid of the Prophet that the Prophet referred to as the mosque that has been established on the piety from the first day. But there is no conflict between the two, because it could be two of them. The two mosques have been established on piety from the first day. Either the one that has been established on piety from the first day, the Prophet made it out of Mecca, which is Quba, or the mosque that has been established on piety from the first day, the Prophet made it to the Medina itself, which is the mosque of the Prophet. And when he came to the Medina, the Prophet, peace be upon him, when he came to the house of Sa'd ibn Haythama, where he stayed peace be upon him for some time, to where he, the Prophet peace be upon him, stayed for some time to receive people who came to see him and came to greet him.
فأفتت النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم مسجد حذاء وهو المسجد الذي أسيت على التقوى من أول يوم، ثم طلع من بين أظهرهم يوم الجمعة. هي الرواية اللي هي فيها يعني الروايتان فيهما يعني أن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم خرج يوم الجمعة، يعني الروايتان اللي فيها مكث فيه 4 أيام وخرج يوم الجمعة، والرواية فيها أن مكث 14 يوما وخرج يوم الإيه؟ الجمعة.
So there are two narrations. The first narration is that he stayed in Quba for 4 days and then he left on Friday. Actually, 2 months and then he left on Friday. And the second narration mentioned that he stayed for 14 nights in Quba and then again left on a Friday. It was a Friday after Quba. After it was a Friday after the Jum'ah prayer, after the Friday prayer. And if he came on a Monday, as some of the biographers of Sira say, then there is no way that he would have stayed for 14 months. Because staying for 14 months doesn't work if he came on a Friday and left on a if he came on a Monday and left on a Friday. The two narrations mentioned that he left on a Friday. And he came to Medina on a Monday, the 12th of Rabi' al-Awwal. So there is no way that he would have come on a Friday because the second narration mentioned 14 days or 14 nights, or 14 nights doesn't work if you say that he came on a Monday and he left on a Friday.
قال بنى بها مسجده وارتحل لطيبة الفيحاء قال نزلا فبركت ناقته المحمورة بموضع المسجد في الظهيرة. ثم بعدما بنى النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم مسجد قباء ارتحل النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم بعد ان طبعا بناء المسجد يعني في ذلك الوقت ما كان يعني بناء هو التأكيد
At that time, building a mosque would not take a lot of time because basically the building was simple, a few bricks and a ceiling or a roof made of the trunks of trees. And when he came to Medina, peace be upon him, people competed with each other to take the reins of the camel of the Prophet so that they would host the Prophet in their houses. So they would compete, they did compete with each other. And they wanted to, each one of them wanted to host the Prophet. So the Prophet said to the people, leave the camel, it is ordered. It is ordered. Allah ordered it to put the place herself. So they left the camel.
على دل سالم فقال ايه
The people of Bani Salim wanted to host the Prophet, but the Prophet said, leave the camel, it is ordered. The people of Bani Sa'idah then wanted to host the Prophet, and the Prophet said to the camel, leave the camel, it is ordered. And then he came to the house of Sa'd ibn al-Khazraj, but the Prophet said, leave the camel, it is ordered. And then the camel came to the house of Ali ibn al-Najjar, who are the uncles of the Prophet. The uncles of the Prophet. But the Prophet said, leave the camel, it is ordered. Until he came to the house of Bani Malik ibn al-Najjar. And when they came to the house, the camel stopped and sat in the place where the mosque should be built. And at that time, that place was owned by two orphans from the people of Bani Najjar. Was owned by two orphans from the people of Bani Najjar. The Prophet left the camel unreined so that it would take its freedom to go wherever it wants, because the Prophet said that it is ordered. So it took off again and went back and sat in the same time, in the same place where it sat at the first time.
So the Prophet
came down from the camel, and that was at noon of that day. And the closest house to that position was the house of Abu Ayyub al-Ansari, the famous companion, Abu Ayyub al-Ansari. And the Prophet became a guest of Abu Ayyub al-Ansari, may Allah be pleased with him. And when some people came asking to host the Prophet, peace be upon him, he said, I will have to follow my luggage. And at the time, Abu Ayyub already seized the luggage of the Prophet, because he didn't want anybody else to host him but him. So they were competing each other on who would host the Prophet, peace be upon him. At that time, the Prophet was hosted by Abu Ayyub al-Ansari. The Prophet stayed at the house of Abu Ayyub al-Ansari for about 6 months. During which Abu Ayyub had the honor to be the companion of the Prophet, peace be upon him, for 6 months. And during that time, the Prophet, peace be upon him, was working on building his masjid and his residence around the masjid, a house for himself around the masjid. And the house of Ayyub al-Ansari was of two stories. Two stories. And Abu Ayyub, wanted the Prophet to be in the upper story. He said that I would not walk on a story under which the Prophet, peace be upon him, is. I would not walk on a story, I would not walk on a floor. And on the story underneath will be the Prophet, peace be upon him. The Prophet said, the first floor is there for me because I receive gifts and so on and so forth. So it will be easier for me. The Prophet said, it will be easier for me. So Abu Ayyub agreed reluctantly to stay in the upper floor. He didn't want to stay in the upper floor, and the reason for that is that he wanted to be on a floor where the Prophet is underneath him. So he didn't want to walk with any sound so that the Prophet would not be disturbed. He didn't want to do anything that would disturb the Prophet. But on one day, a pot of water was broken, and the water started leaking into the or through the ceiling to the lower floor or to the first floor. And his wife and himself worked very hard to block the water. And he worked very hard on that. So the Prophet felt the unease that Abu Ayyub al-Ansari was or had to go through in order to make sure that the Prophet is not disturbed. So the Prophet agreed to be to live in the second or the upper floor and let Abu Ayyub stay in the on the first floor or in the basement. We'll stop here and then we will follow or continue after the prayer, inshallah.